Welcome, great patriotic friends, to December 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is because I'm on a mission from Uncle Sam to make American history as fun and exciting as one could possibly make a history podcast. And believe me, some days are easier than others. Hey, be sure to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Let me know what you think about today's show. Your comments and questions are always welcome. So thank you for that. I assembled the show from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. By the way, if you're looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And now, let's begin the show as we customarily do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags, put our right hands over our hearts, and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen, brothers and sisters. And now on to today's headlines. The Dearborn Independent, Henry Ford's anti-Semitic magazine, stops publishing. Plus, I'll talk about the corrupt bargain, and Rosa Parks refuses to sit down. All right, so now let's do this. 1927, the last issue of Dearborn Independent wraps up Henry Ford, the Model T, and the Protocols of Zion. Yes, Henry Ford, the industrial beast that changed the world through his renovation of mass production, distributed a newspaper filled with anti-Semitic articles during the 1920s, and would apologize for it later. In 1908, when the Model T came out and revolutionized the assembly line, Ford was not happy with other progressive changes happening in America, including the way that women started wearing those rolled stockings, as well as that new jazz nonsense that people called music that was engulfing America, not to mention the consumption of alcohol. He was very much anti-union, and the Jews that were taking over the financial world. According to MyJewishLearning.com, Ford's personal secretary was Jewish and would read all of his boss's mail since Ford was too busy inventing assembly lines. But in 1919, he purchased the newspaper Dearborn Independent and hired journalist William J. Cameron to publish conspiracies on Jewish bankers funding both sides of World War I and blame Jewish auto dealers that undermined his company's sales policy. Maybe he felt like he was getting ripped off, who knows. And then he ran across a copy of the Protocols of Elders. Now, the protocols, or much of it, has to do with killing Christians, using World War I as a tool. Ford would include more stories on that, entitled The International Jew, The World's Problem. Cameron would publish a book containing these articles, just a couple of them at first. But in 1925, a farmer-slash-lawyer named Aaron Shapiro slapped a big lawsuit on Ford. He delayed the trial for 2 months, supposedly even staging an automobile accident that left him in the hospital, unable to attend a subpoena. Ford was even granted the German Eagle, the Grand Cross itself, by none other than Adolf Hitler, who called Ford a single great man of the American Union. Leaders of various Jewish groups, led by Lewis Marshall, negotiated an agreement with Ford, with Ford admitting publicly that the articles reflecting on the Jewish community would never show up in Dearborn Independent again. Today's the anniversary of the last publication of that magazine, but Ford later claimed that he did not sign the agreement to stop future publications with Marshall, stating that his signature was forged. When Marshall died in 1929, sure enough, Ford kept publishing, and his anti-Semitism would continue throughout World War II. Now, the cabal, or the deep state, the QAnon, the Illuminati, or whatever you want to call it, has linked Ford the Model T to the Nazis, Walt Disney, and the Holocaust. When you think about it, that link might actually continue today. In fact, add to that link the inventions of Nikola Tesla, World War II, and what the heck. Might as well throw in a few UFOs in there while we're at it.
Did you guys want to go out? Here, did you guys want to go out? Do you want to go out? Okay, you guys go out. You can't come back in, though.
1824, The Corrupt Bargain. 1824 was a very unique year for American politics. The Republican Federalist Party collapsed, and five candidates were competing for the Democratic Republicans. Andrew Jackson of Tennessee, the hero of the War of 1812, won 99 electoral and 43% popular. John Quincy Adams won 84 electoral and 30% popular. Secretary of State William H. Crawford suffered a stroke before the election, but came in third place. And Henry Clay of Virginia won 37 electoral. Since there was no majority, the election would have to go to the House of Representatives to decide on the next president of the U.S. Since Clay was in fourth place, he was out of contention, and since he despised Andy Jackson, he threw his support for John Quincy and helped him get elected. In return, President John Quincy Adams named Henry Clay Secretary of State. Jacksonians would call this alliance the corrupt bargain. It seemed elite insiders could pursue their own interests and completely ignore the will of the people. John Publicola Adams Jr. was largely ineffectual in running the country, and in the election of 1828, Andy Jackson soundly defeated Adams, receiving over twice the amount of votes. And finally, in Civil Rights News, 1955. Rosa Parks stands up for freedom by sitting down. Ah, yes, the 1950s. The 1950s, as we all know, was a time of major civil rights movement, and Parks had been called the mother of it all. Riding a city bus in Montgomery, Alabama, December 1st, 1955, Parks broke the law when she refused to give up her seat to a white man. The bus driver threatened her with calling the police, but she wouldn't budge. Not because she was tired, but because she was tired of giving in, as she would famously say later. She was jailed that day, and when the announcement of her arrest showed up in the Montgomery newspaper, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, led by a young Martin Luther King Jr., immediately banded together and formed a boycott on bus riding. The news spread to the black community, flyers were handed out, meetings organized, and the Montgomery Improvement Association was established to organize the protest. Since 70%, as in 70, of bus riders in Montgomery were African American, there were a lot of empty buses riding around town. Participants in the boycott simply carpooled, rode their bikes, or walked to work and school. This went on for over a year. King received constant death threats, and at one point his house was bombed along with four churches. But the protest continued. The bus company lost tons of revenue, and on November 13, 1956, the U.S. Supreme Court determined that the Montgomery laws were unconstitutional and were in violation of the 14th Amendment. King had his first of what would become many major victories, and Rosa ignited a revolution for civil rights. Rosa Parks, everybody, like a boss! And that's all I got for December 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Thanks for listening.
And so that, scholars, is going to wrap it up for December 1st on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what you think about today's EP, for instance. What's your take on the corrupt bargain? Does it remind you in any way of any presidential elections we've had recently?
What about Henry Ford's magazine? By the way, have you seen the movie Ford vs. Ferrari?
I haven't, so don't tell me how it ends. Or what about Rosa Parks and her legacy as a civil rights activist? So yeah, let me know what your take is. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about the Monroe Doctrine, plus the EPA, and revolution news with an alleged George Washington spy. So don't miss that. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.